Doris Stengel is a Brainerd poet whose poems have won many awards and been widely published. Her recent chapbook is called Small Town Lines. I'm Heidi Holton for a Real Good Words interview on Northern Community Radio. I grew up in Brainerd and had Doris as an occasional substitute teacher when I was at Franklin Junior High. I remember her in that sometimes thankless role as a substitute. She was a no-nonsense kind of person. Now, I've also come to think of her as no-nonsense, but not in how she handles a room of rowdy kids, but how she uses her words. Her word choice is deliberate and clear and stark. In an article from the Crossings Arts Alliance newsletter, Currents writer Charmaine Donovan writes about how Doris learned to write poetry because she heard poetry in her father's grocery store. He recited poetry, which inspired her to write. I recently had the chance to visit Doris at her home in Brainerd. It's a pink house right down the road from where I grew up. Our task was to record for The Beat on Northern Community Radio. After all, her poem, Like Grandma Walked Wide, has had some of our biggest response. But as it often happens when two people get together to talk writing, we couldn't quite stop our conversation. Here you're going to hear Doris describe a poem she wrote that was published in Zumbrota, Minnesota, in conjunction with the Crossings at Carnegie. It was a project that paired visual artists with poets. In poet-artist collaboration, Doris was paired with Yvette Castro Martinez, and she tells us here how her dad and his family inspired arrival and departure.
These men are standing out there visiting, and this uncle's wife had her rock garden in the back, and that was her pride and joy. So they're standing out there in front of that rock garden, and it's such a wistful picture because my dad's family was all split up. When he was 4 years old, his mother died in childbirth, and there were 10 kids. Well, I think a couple of them had died. But that father was just, anyway, he split the kids all up and gave them away to various relatives. So dad and his six-year-old sister were sent, and he was born out in Vancouver. What they were doing there, I don't know. But they'd been in Nicollet. And so he was sent to live with cousins of his mother, who he'd never met, and they already had 14 children. So, you know, I said, well, if somebody needed a spanking, they just gave it to me. So and this older brother was old enough, he was sent back to Nicollet, but he worked on some other farm. You know, he was old enough to be a worker. So they knew each other, but they never grew up together. So after I'd written it, I thought, you know, this kind of fractured poem really is a metaphor for their life. They were split into pieces and kind of... So he did get to know. I think he got to know all his siblings. Well, in fact, the girl that was born when his mother died was taken over to the neighbors. And they had like two pretty much grown-up boys, but always wanted a girl. So they adopted that baby. They got Aunt Hazel and Lucky the cow, because they needed milk source, you know. So they got the baby and the cow. And he never met that sister until, I think he was 30 years old, or she was 30 years old, when she came out to North Dakota for her honeymoon. But that's a story. She was named Edna May Luth. The people that adopted her changed it to Hazel. Oh, what was the last name? Something like Jenkins. But that was not the man's real name, because he had gone off and tried to avoid the draft, so he took a name off of a packing cart. So that wasn't his real name. So then when she was being courted, the guy's name was Theodore Hasenfurter. And she says, I'll marry you, but not with that name. So they changed it to Hart, H-A-R-T. So this is a woman who changed name her whole life and lived to be 93, but she and my dad got to be really quite close in later years, and she lived in the same house across the street from where she was born until, I think, her last year she had to go into senior housing, and she died at 92, I think. But to see them together, they'd never grown up together, and they had so many of the same mannerisms and, you know, ways of doing things, and you think, oh, there's a lot of thought in the genes. So it was an interesting poem to set to this saying goodbye to the older brother was.
Doris Stengel reads now her poem called Arrival and Departure and will tell us more about the style in which she wrote it.
Arrival and Departure. I drive with my father to the small town where my grandfather settled when he arrived in America over a century ago. Farmland, black as coal, banked on the grate of freedom, warmth for newcomers. Here, among other German immigrants, he practiced his craft of carpentry. Cupboards and chests carved with twining vines, polished to buttery hue. Builder of coffins, he buried the dead. Far away from home, no familiar forests, grass, horizons, grass. My uncle was the only son to remain in this fertile landscape. Now we travel to visit him as his health fails. He is a short man beside my father's height. Both speak terse male love. Sailing overhead, gentle breath of death catches dry leaves in treetops. Hands in pockets, they stand and talk, not saying the things they both know. Behind them, the stacked rock garden, my aunt's pride. Uncle already looks past us, at horizons we cannot see. Hard background of rock, plans caught in the crevices, future under stone. It's an interesting, it's a Japanese form called a haibun, H-A-I-B-U-N. And it's written as a story, and you simply write your story from margin to margin, and then intermittently you stop and put in a haiku. And the haiku is described as being a moment of awe. So you stop for a little awe once in a while. And I think it works quite well in this poem because the poem is about saying goodbye between two brothers who never grew up together, who knew one another but missed the time of growing up and living in a family that had been split up by the mother's death. And there was this wistful, final saying goodbye, like men do, without really talking about it.
I asked Doris about my favorite line in that poem.
Both speak terse male love. Men are not soft word speakers. They deal in concrete in more ways than one. Their words don't have a lot of adverbs. That line is not part of the haiku. It comes right before a haiku. And I work harder at the haiku to reflect what's happening. And that, I'm not by nature a haiku person. So those I had to really, really work out. But that line just came. There they stood, this hard rock background, and they're just talking death, but they're not talking death. And that line just came. Yeah. This was put out by a Crossings group in Zumbrota, Minnesota. And I believe this was the fifth year that they had done this poet-artist collaboration where poets submitted poems and they received like 300 poems and they could only pick 26 because they had 26 artists. And the way I understood it when we were at the event to see our poetry and the artwork, the artists were simply handed a poem. I don't think they had an opportunity to choose. So mine was done by a Brazilian lady, has lived in this country some years, but looked Brazilian, you know, rather tall, dark, exotic and demonstrative, and she talked about the different images in here, and she thought about painting the men standing there talking with their hands in their pockets. But then the bit about my grandfather, she says, oh, that grandfather would just not let me go, she said. So she painted a picture of my grandfather at his workbench working on some carpentry. In the background is a coffin, just a plain wooden coffin. It's a lovely painting. She said she had to go research German men, because she said, I thought all German men were bald and fat. And she said, when I researched, I found out that most German men had a lot of hair and were thin, which was true of my grandfather. He was a thin man, and in his young pictures had a lot of hair, although in later years it was thinning out. But it was interesting that she went to the trouble to research what a German carpenter would look like.
That's Doris Stengel. Doris will give us another poem that was recently given a first place award.
This poem won a competition strictly of poems down in the Rochester Plummer House Library is the name of it. And they asked for poets to send in poems, and then they posted them on the wall, and the people that came through to look at the exhibit for a week or two were asked to vote, and then they had a panel. I don't know of how many who were critics who understood poetry and chose them on the merit of the poem. And I ended up having a first place poem, which was a thrill for me. Poems could be no longer than 14 lines, which is nice when you're having an exhibit of poetry. People will stop and read 14 lines. And this was written in response to my husband and I and his older sister and our second son, Sean, taking a trip to Norway, where my husband's parents were both born. And when we were flying away from Norway, I got the inspiration for this poem called Looking Back on Norway. The plane crescendos, lifting us above this land of trolls and stave churches. Inside us, a fjord sings green glacial notes. Sharp switchbacks trill a high sea of hair-raising memory. Folk songs echo across snug valleys, hung with grass-roofed grace notes. A fugue of roads, skinny as fishbone, twist through mountains. We nose into clouds thick as curdled cream, satisfied as barn cats purring a Grieg melody.
That's Brainerd poet Doris Stengel with her poem Looking Back on Norway. You can hear more of Doris's work on The Beat, heard weekdays at 8:45 a.m. and 3:45 p.m. You can also hear poetry at kaxe.org. Just look for The Beat. It's made possible in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.